Welcome, everybody. Filibuster Freestyle presents F1 Feast. We're talking Japanese Grand Prix. Couple hot takes involving Danny Ric, Logan Sargeant, Yuki Tsunoda, Ferrari as a whole, maybe even a little bit of Red Bull as a whole. And we're talking about it after the theme song.
Filibuster freestyle.
All right, the theme song is in the books, and we are excited that we got through the Japanese Grand Prix. It obviously is not the ideal race to watch if you are living in the New York time zone. Definitely difficult to watch live. Thank goodness for DVR. But where we got to start is with Alex Albon, Danny Ric, turn one. And they run into each other. It sounds like it was Ricciardo's fault. We'll start with Danny Ricciardo. It seems like everybody is in a rush to say that this is the end of Danny Ricciardo as an F1 driver on the grid. And there's really not a lot thus far this season to refute that. One, having trouble finishing races. Two, having trouble qualifying well for races. Three, his teammate, Yuki Tsunoda, really does seem to have a firm and full leg up on him. And the reserve driver for that team is Liam Lawson, who last year, when he did fill in during Danny Ric's injuries, was actually outperforming Yuki Tsunoda. So it was a perfect storm swirling around Danny Ric, which leads me to believe, and I'm not the first person to say this, and I won't be the last, that next year he'll be at F1 races the same way Gunther Steiner is this year, which is in a broadcast/ambassadorial role, which is too bad. I'm glad Danny Ric got to get back on the grid last year. I'm glad he put up a little fight last year, and maybe he's still got a little fight left in him this year. But right now, I do need to side with the critics and say, this is trouble. It looks like, for Danny Ric. Now, the person he crashed into, Alex Albon in the Williams, on turn one, lap one of the race, I don't think it's as dark for Williams as it might look right now. Alex Albon has had a tough couple of weeks. We'll get to his teammate in a minute. But if you remember last year, Williams tends to be good on a very specific track, right? And so they need a lot of straight line type tracks. I'm not saying that Suzuka in Japan was a perfect track for them, but it's not an imperfect track for them. But for Alex Albon, we'll never know because he crashed out in turn one. But if we go back and look at last year's stats and the races in which Williams and therefore Albon, who basically scored all their points last year, in which he was successful, I don't believe Suzuka was one of those tracks. And I did not take the time to look at last year. But Williams is going to be, if they don't crash, and Albon doesn't crash specifically, a track where certain weeks that car's a rocket ship and certain weeks that car is not going to help. And this is one of those times when it didn't help. His teammate, on the other hand, Logan Sargeant, is going the way of Danny Ric, though going much quicker than Danny Ric from a career standpoint. Logan Sargeant was the final car to finish the race. It was a bad day for Danny Ric. It was a bad day for Williams. But Logan Sargeant just doesn't seem quick. And apparently he had crashed his car during practice 2 weeks before getting his car taken away from a race when Alex Albon had crashed his car in qualifying and Williams didn't have an extra chassis to build Albon a new car. So Sargeant seems to be on his way out and pundits are saying he might not make it to the other side of the summer break, a la Nyck de Vries last year. So not a good weekend for Williams, not a good weekend for Logan Sargeant, but I don't know that I'd put Alex Albon in a situation where let's get him on the right track, let's see if he can keep his car on the track, and we'll see where he goes from there. Alpine, rough weekend. The only cars that finished the races behind them that actually finished the race was Logan Sargeant and the Williams. Pierre Gasly, Esteban Ocon were 15th and 16th respectively. That Alpine is not fast. And there's a lot of celebrity investment going into that team, but they seem further from the solution now than they were when they fired Otmar. Is it Otmar Sartmeyer? I don't know his last name, my bad. But Otmar don't work here no more, and they got rid of him because things weren't happening. But they seem to be happening even worse now that Otmar's gone. Valtteri Bottas, 14th place in the Kick Sauber. K-Mag, Kevin Magnussen, 13th place in the Haas. Lance Stroll in the Aston Martin. Nico Hülkenberg, right out of the points. He was 11th. And then Yuki Tsunoda did drive to that 10th place point. He was plus one lap, but the fastest of the plus one lapped cars. Yuki gets the point, and again, burying further the nails into the driving coffin of Danny Ric, who is still a superstar and still going to make a lot of money as a commentator, ambassador, slash brand manager moving forward. So the ones gets the cars that actually finish on the race, like on the leader's lap. Start at the top, finally. Max Verstappen, 12 and a half seconds faster than his teammate, Checo Perez, who was 20 seconds faster than Carlos Sainz in third place. The Red Bulls seem to, if they're going to, you know, if the Red Bulls are going to qualify well, and the Red Bulls are going to not have any car trouble during the race, the pecking order has been established after Max's dominance last year. Red Bull still is the fastest car on the grid, and unless they have car problems, that's what it's going to be every week, unless Checo screws it up. He did not screw it up this week. There he goes. Carlos Sainz in third, Charles Leclerc in fourth. The Ferrari is clearly the second fastest car on the grid. They have two drivers who are capable. People are already starting to murmur that Carlos Sainz might have been the person that Ferrari should have held on to. And Charles Leclerc maybe should be the one looking for a drive. Too early to tell in 24. Charles definitely faster qualifier, faster on his best day, more prone to mistakes. Carlos Sainz, steadier driver, and definitely the type of driver that, especially under the pressure of not having a drive finalized for 2025, you know, he's definitely performing well under the pressure. He's definitely steady Eddie, and he's in a good car, and it's going well. And the McLaren isn't quite there yet, it doesn't seem, and the Mercedes is nowhere near them right now. And so Carlos looks really good compared to Charles Leclerc right now. But I guess my question is, we're talking about Ferrari swapping out Carlos Sainz and that being incorrect relative to Charles Leclerc. But if you look at who is Ferrari bringing in, it's Lewis Hamilton next year. So if you take the steadiness of Lewis Hamilton and the steadiness of Carlos Sainz, and you say you're willing to take the wild card flyer on Ferrari driver Charles Leclerc, Ferrari driver and uber talent Charles Leclerc, do you want a rich man's version of Carlos Sainz and Lewis Hamilton in that car, or do you want Carlos Sainz and Lewis Hamilton? To me, it's like you're getting the upside of Sainz with the upside of Leclerc in Hamilton in the later stages of his career. And is there any magic consistency dust that Charles Leclerc can learn from Hamilton as a teammate versus what he's clearly not learning from Carlos Sainz? Too early to tell if it's the right move or the wrong move, but I don't think Ferrari is looking at, did we pick Carlos over Charles Leclerc? It was like, we're never leaving Leclerc. So did we pick the right person over Carlos Sainz and Lewis Hamilton? And we won't know that until next year when Hamilton's in that seat, racing Charles Leclerc, racing the rest of the field. But here's the bottom line. Carlos Sainz has already done enough where he's going to have a drive next year. There's no question about it. Mercedes is obviously going to be open. It sounds like Logan Sargeant is going to be out midway through this year at Williams. We know all kinds of things going on, but I think all the speculation out there, somebody's going to want to put Carlos Sainz in their race car by virtue of the last couple of years of Ferrari and certainly the start to this year. But the Ferrari is the second best car on the grid. Now, the McLaren seems to be the third best car on the grid, but Lando Norris is at the moment really taking it to teammate Oscar Piastri. Piastri's driving fine, but Norris is driving great. Norris in fifth, Piastri in eighth. In the middle of that sandwich was Aston Martin's one good driver, Fernando Alonso, followed very closely by George Russell of Mercedes. Again, Piastri eighth, Lewis Hamilton in ninth. Hamilton, a little bit of a lame duck this year. Wasn't faster on race pace this weekend. May or may not have had a little bit of trouble on one of the segments with some car damage. Swap places with Russell. The Mercedes, I think, is at best the third best car. It seems to be more the – sorry. Well, at best it could be the third best car, but it's not. The McLaren is right now. It's at best the fourth best car, and that's what the constructors standings will tell us too. Let's go to the standings because I think I might be out of hot takes. Other than I love that we're not waiting weeks and weeks on end for Grand Prix. And one of the reasons we're not waiting is that the Chinese Grand Prix is making its return, first time since COVID, and that'll be in 2 weeks, which is exciting. I've never witnessed a live Chinese Grand Prix, and by live I mean seen it happen in my fandom. I've witnessed it through Drive to Survive replays, and when I say live, I don't necessarily mean staying up for it, because my guess is the time zone is going to be fairly similar to Japan, and fairly unfriendly to those in the New York / Boston time zone. But it's going to be exciting to see the Chinese Grand Prix run again, and for the whole Drive to Survive crowd, like myself, this will be our first live, in terms of our fandom, watching and following the race and qualifying and practice, Chinese Grand Prix. So I'm really liking the fact that we're not having to wait 3-4 weeks in between races like we did last year due to some cancellations, both through the weather and through COVID with the China Grand Prix last year. But look at the standings. You've got Logan Sargeant in 21st place out of 20 drivers, because that's how bad it's going. Valtteri Bottas in 20th. I think I believe Audi comes in next year or 2026. Bottas definitely is not making it to 26. I think Bottas, depending on what his contract looks like, is a prime candidate again to be replaced. Alpine, if it wasn't for Bottas and Logan Sargeant, Alpine is the worst car, because Esteban Ocon is not a bad driver and Pierre Gasly, who is not a bad driver. Both those guys are in 18th and 19th place, all on 0 points. Danny Ricciardo, 17th place, 0 points. Yugen Zhou, Kick Sauber, 0 points, 16th place. Alex Albon, 0 points, 15th place. So the Williams, the Kick Sauber, the Alpine have not scored any points at all. Haas has managed some points. Good for them. K-Mag with 1, Nico Hülkenberg with 3. Ferrari's backup driver has more points than all the teams I just mentioned below combined, and he did it in one race. Ollie Bearman is in 12th place in the driver standings with 6 points for Ferrari when Carlos Sainz was out with appendicitis. And that really, again, bodes well for Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton's car, the one that he'll be in next year, has finished in the points every single time, whether it's Carlos Sainz driving it or a rookie in Ollie Bearman driving it on short notice. And it's the only car to win a race aside from a Red Bull this year. And it's literally the car he's going to drive is Carlos Sainz's car. So Ollie Bearman's fast in that car. Carlos Sainz is fast in that car. And scholars maintain that ipso facto, that should mean, barring any big drop-off in talent from Lewis Hamilton in the next year, Lewis Hamilton's probably going to be pretty fast in that car. Now, who else makes upgrades and everything else, we'll see. But good for Ollie Bearman. And then you get into real drivers making real things happen on a real weekly or biweekly basis. Yuki Tsunoda is in 11th with 7 points. Lance Stroll, 9 points, 10th place. Lewis Hamilton, 9th place, 10 points. Fernando Alonso is a clear 8th. Well, sorry. He and George Russell are in a clear 7th and 8th tie at 24 points. The McLaren, but then you get into, okay, both McLarens are in 5th and 6th. Lando in 5th, Oscar Piastri in 6th, Lando with a podium, and that is the 3rd fastest car right now, hands down. The 2nd fastest car, hands down right now, Charles Leclerc, 3rd place, Carlos Sainz, 4th place, though he did miss a race. Both of them have podiumed multiple times, and Carlos Sainz has the lone win besides Max this season. Checo Perez, 2nd place, 3 podiums in 4 races. Max, 3 podiums and 3 wins in 4 races, did not finish that additional race. And if you look at the constructors, the cool thing is at least Ferrari is keeping it competitive due to the fact that their car is clearly the 2nd best car, and due to the fact that Max didn't finish the last race in Australia, I believe. So you've got Red Bull, 3 wins, 6 podiums, 141 points, but Ferrari only 21 points behind at 120 with 5 podiums and a win. McLaren way back at 69 points, clearly in 3rd place, 1 podium. And then way back, Mercedes has now crept into 4th place on 34 points. Aston Martin, 33 points, a clear 5th place, battling for 4th. And then Red Bull and Haas have the rest of the points. Red Bull with 7, Haas with 4. The other 3 teams, 0 points, 0 points, do not pass go. So what we've got ourselves here is a quasi battle for first, a standalone second for Ferrari likely at the moment, a standalone third for McLaren likely at the moment, a battle for fourth and fifth between Mercedes and Aston Martin, a battle between Red Bull and Haas at the moment for sixth and seventh. But again, at seven total points for Red Bull in sixth place, really sixth through tenth, anything can still happen. I just don't think it's going to happen for the Alpine. But when I think about drivers to be excited by, I do think about seeing Lewis in a Ferrari, if these things hold. Very interesting. Who's going to be in the Visa Capash Red Bull team seats? Who's going to be in the Red Bull seats? Who's going to be in the Mercedes seats? All really, really wild things to think about. And then if Logan Sargeant loses his drive in the middle of the season, who is going to replace him at Williams? And what does that mean for where Alex Albon and others end up next year? We're only four races into it, but I believe it's a 24-25 race season. We're already talking about silly season for next year. But at least we don't know that Red Bull's going to definitely win everything, even though they probably are. So that's a quick and dirty F1 feast from the Filibuster Freestyle. That's the Japanese Grand Prix. We'll talk to you soon.